Okay, so next report from board members, and I will start on my right.
I have nothing to report.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Dr. Wolf. I don't have any meetings to report on, but I will do a brief update on the environmental justice issues and activities that have been moving along. I want to thank staff, certainly, and Mr. Robertson for their support and creativity in thinking through how we identify and, with very little resources and no dedicated staff, work with our environmental justice communities, also referred to as disadvantaged communities. First of all, San Gerardo is one community that we have worked very closely with for a number of years now as they have moved through different issues. And currently, they have completed the technical, managerial, and financial assessment that has determined that they are not capable of owning their own water system and operating it. While I say it's completed, the State Water Board is still in process of determining some of the last decisions have to be formalized, apparently. I think what we need to focus on now, because I think it was a good effort, I think the community put forward a great deal of time and effort to justify owning their own water system. But now at this point, I think the most important thing is to assure that whatever transaction occurs, whoever takes on that water system, that they focus on assuring for affordability for that community. And they've already faced huge increases in their water, cost of their water with the new well that was installed by the county with state funding. So we have our eye on it, and hopefully the elected officials in Monterey County are also watching and assuring that that community is going to be able to have safe, affordable water. And I think part of that, I just want to mention briefly, we have a water bond initiative coming up that has many different elements to it that are focused on the needs of disadvantaged communities. So through the protection of groundwater quality, there are different aspects of that water bond that may actually provide many billions of dollars to deal with issues, including technical assistance for grant development, operation and management, funding for early stages of new systems, septic assistance, and more broadly, as I said, groundwater protection and advancing SGMA. So it's an opportunity, hopefully, for our disadvantaged communities to receive some additional help, including in our water and so forth. So many challenges. However, we're still tracking on the data collection and looking at providing this information, sharing with State Water Board what we learn and what we know about the capacity of our disadvantaged communities to deal with their water quality problems. The only other project I want to talk about is the UCLA project. We've had many phases of the process of putting this pilot project into place. There are three sites that have been selected for this remote operated system for treating nitrate contaminated water. At this stage, the extended period of time that occurred to work through some very challenging issues around permitting the discharge from the system. We finally solved them, but it did take more time than we anticipated. So at this point, the UCLA group is applying for some additional funding, and we're hoping that the State Water Board moves quickly on this, because this is, I believe this is one of the few pilot projects in the state that has real potential to identify, at least within a 5-year period, a solution for isolated communities, very rural communities where there is no possibility for consolidation, very little options in terms of new systems, new water systems for very small clusters of homes currently being served by one well, up to 15 homes. So this is a very important pilot project, and I think we'll do everything we can to support the extended funding. But I do have one last comment. We, I think, have heard about our Civic Spark fellows that we had for some time working with us, and we have very good news because this program is intended to launch young professionals in their career. And we were very fortunate. We had two very talented, very, very intelligent and professional fellows, Spark fellows. One who was working on the Santa Barbara domestic well data is now actually on staff and will be working with the Irrigated Lands Program. So we're very fortunate to have a new staff member who's up and running, already understands how our programs function, and I'm sure we'll be tasked with some very urgent you know, complicated tasks that would be difficult for somebody new coming in. The second Civic Spark fellow, well, she did not stay in the state. She moved on to a place where she wants to be, Montana. But the good news is she's also working for an environmental agency. So I think I want to put a, you know, pat on the back to staff who worked and mentored with these young professionals and help them be you know, in position to take a job in the field of their choice and contribute to the work that we all do. So I'll end with that. Thank you.
Thank you for your report. Mr. Young.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. On February 21st, I was involved in a meeting here in this building with Dr. Wolf and Jane Gray, and we met with First District Supervisor Doss Williams and members of Santa Barbara County's Public Works Department, and we discussed the county's efforts at dealing with all of the debris coming off of the mud flows from the, you know, horrific rain events, and discussed with Public Works, you know, what options it was looking at in terms of removal and disposal of everything that's been coming down in the mud flow.
I'll just add that John Robertson was also at that meeting.
Yeah, did I say that?
No.
I didn't? He was.
Mayor Delgado?
Yeah, just an update on the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project, which is a proposal for desalinization. The California Public Utilities Commission is going to have their final ER published approximately March 30th. And then in June, they come out with a draft CPCN. And then by the end of December, they expect to have a final CPCN. So it's potential that California American Water might be starting to seek permits through permitting agencies as soon as possible after March 30th, but I'm not sure about that. There's an update.
Thank you, Ms. Gray.
So on February 14th, I participated in a climate resilience roundtable focused on disadvantaged communities and environmental justice here in Santa Barbara County. That's a collaboration with a number of different NGOs. I also attended the February 21st meeting that Board Member Young referred to, and on March 16th, which was last Friday, I attended a carbon farming workshop sponsored by CalCan on a local ranch.
Thank you. So in my case, on the 21st, I participated to this meeting by conference call with the participation of Mr. Robertson. Just want to reemphasize his attendance. And on March the 8th, I had a conference call with my counterpart of Region 2, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, in regard to a statewide winery order, particularly since Region 2 and Region 3, and as well as Region 5, have the lion's share of wineries in the state. And then on the 9th, had a meeting with the City of San Luis Obispo fisheries biologist discussing the health of the creeks in within the City of San Luis Obispo. At the time, this was prior to the abundance of rain we got, so it was more of a discussion about the stress that the aquatic habitat had in those creeks, in looking at opportunities of flow augmentations through capturing rainwater with large systems and then increasing progressively the flow during some of the summer months with these cisterns that can hold several million gallons. Then I had a meeting recently on the 19th at Cal Poly with the president of Cal Poly and with the dean of the College of Ag, Food, and Environmental Science in regard to various concepts of recycled water for Cal Poly, specifically for the Cal Poly farms, and also for their various green areas that I have on campus, as a way of looking long-term at resiliency in diversification of their water portfolio associated with their long-term master plan. So that's summary of my meetings. Certainly, the events of Montecito had increased the amount of communication that our executive officer and myself have had. In fact, during the peak period of the events, we were communicating as a minimum twice a day, and then in addition, getting updates from the Office of Emergency. So, there was quite a bit of activity associated with some of these flows. And, I want to just to make a quick general comment that, I think staff and our executive officer responded very well, to this crisis. And that's one thing at the state board level that has been discussed is how you have regional boards address emergencies. This was initially prompted last year with the forest fires, which took place predominantly at that time was in the Santa Rosa area. But obviously since then, in our region, we had the historical largest fire in the state of California, and then these flows. So this is an item that I think we're gonna hear more and more in terms of how statewide we can improve our efforts. And this ties also to the topic of climate change. And what we're experiencing, and that was another focus that has been established at the state level, and how, as a state and as regions, we establish long-term strategies to address climate change. So thanks, that's the end of my report, which at this time I pass back to you.